You're listening to Radio City Talk. It's full time with Matt Jones, and it's time to talk new music because I've got a rather special guest in the studio this afternoon. He's got a brand new album coming out over the next few weeks, and he's got a new single to go with it as well. Good afternoon, Rick Astley.
Good afternoon.
Great to have you in. So your new song is called Beautiful Life.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about it.
I sometimes have to remind myself that life is beautiful. And I've had an amazing, lucky, charmed life, there's no doubt about it. But as you can probably tell, I am a northerner. And even though I've lived down south for years, I just have that thing of being super realistic, which I think most northerners do. Do you know what I mean? And my wife's from Copenhagen, and they're unbelievably positive people. I sometimes scream at her, stop being so positive about everything. So every now and again, it's nice to actually have a lyric or a song that kind of just put some perspective on how lucky I've been, really. And that's kind of what the tone of the song is about, is that life, you know, it is a beautiful life, and it can be a beautiful and amazing, but we've just got to find a way to keep doing that, if you know what I mean. And that's kind of what the song's about, really. Yeah.
I've had a listen to it, really like it.
Oh, thanks.
Really enjoy it. How would you compare it to your previous stuff?
I think the thing is, obviously, I had this record a couple of years ago called 50 to mark my 50th birthday, and that kind of way over the top of my expectation for it. You know, did really well. We had a number one platinum album, Listen to Me. That was totally unexpected. So that was amazing. But obviously, other than that, I haven't really released a record properly for donkey's years. And I think this first track, Beautiful Life, is I'm not saying it's like I got a total connection with what I did, you know, Never Gonna Give You Up and those other tunes, but it's a bit more kind of dancey, you could say, if that's even a word. Something you could dance to. And I think in lots of ways, going out and playing 50 live, I mean, playing my old ones is one thing. I expect people to dance because it's reliving a moment, it's reliving a memory, all the rest of it. So everyone pretends they're 21 again while they hear those songs, you know. But sort of having songs from that 50 record and having people get up and dance in the gigs that we did sort of made me think, yeah, okay, people even my age want to get up and, you know, shake their butts, you know what I mean? So it just kind of gave me a bit of freedom and it released me a bit to sort of say, I am allowed to have up-tempo songs, you know. So, yeah, it's kind of nice, really.
Let's just touch on that comeback because the reaction and reception that you got after plenty of years away from the industry was amazing, wasn't it?
It's crazy. I've been doing gigs for quite a while, but, I mean, doing gigs that are, you know, kind of like a retro, they're even called retro sometimes, whatever, you know, whatever, trip down memory lane, whatever you want to call it, nostalgia. That is one thing, and there's nothing wrong with it, and I've really enjoyed doing loads of those gigs. I howl with laughter at times at what people come dressed in, the comments people shout out at you when you're doing those, you know, that kind of thing, because it's a fun thing. It is a memory for a lot of people to go back and listen to some of their favourite tunes from way back when, and I've done so many of those gigs with loads of other artists, you know, and it's fun to see people again and stuff, you know. But to actually have a record out of completely new tunes, and I make the records these days, I make the records in my garage. It's a nice garage. I've got some decent gear in there, but it is a garage, and I play everything, so they're my records. Do you know what I mean? I haven't gone to a producer or a writer or anything, and all right, they have their limitations because I'm doing them, but I guess in lots of ways they kind of mean, I wouldn't say they mean more, they just mean something else. They mean a different thing because I've crafted those records and made them. And obviously Never Going to Give You Up, and a lot of the other ones, the big ones, were written by Stock Aitken Waterman and produced by them. So it's just really nice to get my hands dirty and make a record and then it actually connect with people, you know.
The album that you did a couple of years ago then, did that give you the bug to come back and do another one pretty quickly?
Well, I didn't really stop, to be honest. We'd been away doing different gigs in different parts of the world and little tours here, there and everywhere. And I kind of came home and had a few weeks by myself at home. My wife had gone to America for a bit. And I just found myself, you know, in my man cave doing my hobby, which is making music. It's just got a bit weird that I actually turned that hobby into kind of my job again. You know, I don't look at it as a job and it's not a real job, but you know what I mean? It's what I do kind of thing. And so I didn't have a moment to sort of go, am I going to bother doing another one? I think the confidence you gain from having a record so well received just makes you think, well, of course I'm doing another one. They're having one whether they want it or not, you know what I mean? And I think it does help in terms of the songwriting process because you feel, yeah, I can do this, you know what I mean? I played all the instruments, I wrote it all, I can do it, I'm going to do it again. And there was a time when we actually did sit down, the record company, myself and everyone involved, and say, well, maybe I can now get in a room with some pretty big songwriters or even big producers that wouldn't have let me in the building a couple of years before. But before I knew what I was doing, I'd already written a bunch of songs and I really liked them and they liked them. So I just ploughed on again.
Absolutely. You're listening to Radio City Talk. It's Full Time with Matt Jones. I've got Rick Astley in the studio as well, ahead of his new album coming out in a few weeks' time. I've got this image of you in my head now, stumbling over your car in your garage as you're making your new songs.
Yeah, to be honest, I can't get a car in there anymore, unfortunately. I wish I could sometimes, but there you go. I think it was just one of those things that I've always had little studios at home. I had a proper studio way back in the day, and it's kind of probably where I kind of cut my teeth in certain ways in learning different things. But technology's moved so much now that you can have a very small setup and get really good results. There's still always room for a real band getting together and going in a studio, a big old place, and kind of, you know, doing it the kind of classic way of making a record like that. But I think for a lot of people, you're recording one thing at a time, and you can do it in a laptop almost, you know what I mean? Well, people are doing it in laptops, you know, so... And in a way, that's a lot of freedom and a lot of... it takes away that whole thing of the cost of things, therefore you can take your time, or you can perhaps go the other way, where you kind of say, we just did it all in a night, we love it, it sounds great, I'm leaving it like that. Whereas I think when you're in a studio process, you think, should we do that again? Oh, did we have the right mics up? Was the setting on the compressor just exactly how it should have been? Well, there is room for that. Of course there is, and some of the best records in the world are made like that. But I also think sometimes people get some scrappy little demo down and you listen to it and you go, that ain't a demo, that's the record. It sounds great, you know, and let's keep that. You know, let's keep what we initially came up with. And I think there's a bit of that with my thing. You know, sometimes it isn't recorded the most beautiful way possible. And then Dan Frampton, who engineers for me and mixes the records, comes and tuts and ums and ahs and says, what am I going to do with that? And occasionally we do re-record things, you know, because he knows he can get it sounded a bit fatter or whatever, or even I know we can. But it's that process of having a little place that you can just get in and be creative, and it's pretty amazing to have that, yeah.
You've mentioned you're a Northern lad as well, so how much are you looking forward to playing the arena in a few months?
Yeah, it's kind of quite daunting, to be honest. We've got a few arenas on this tour now, and it's kind of like, really? And I've played arenas, but usually with other people, or we're going way back in the day, you know what I mean? So, yeah, we'll have to see. I don't know whether we'll fill it, but it'll be nice trying. And it's good for your ego, I think. I think if you don't dream big, then you just don't know, do you? You know what I mean? So, yeah, and I think we've had a few venues, you know, where... we've kind of thought, yeah, we could have played somewhere bigger, you know. So, yeah, it's always a bit nerve-wracking, I think, but you've just got to push it sometimes, haven't you, and go for it, and we'll see what happens. So,
Have you played the Echo before?
I've been in it and sung in it, but not at just my gig. I've played it with other people, if you know what I mean, on a lineup gig or things like that. So to headline it on you, you know. But the thing is, luckily, it's not just me on my own. We've got an amazing, amazing act playing with me as well. Gabrielle's opening up for us, so... that's going to be great because she's got some great tunes anyway, and her new record's really good. If anyone hasn't heard it, they need to, because it's a really great record, and she's got one of them voices, I think, that, you know, when people hear her sing, they just know it's her straight away. And I think the record that she's made is it kind of instantly fits into what we know of her, if you know what I mean. It's not like she's done something with a DJ and it's all gone a bit like, you know what I mean, just her on top of a dance record or what, you know what I mean. It's actually her record. It sounds like her. It sounds like a, you know, great record to me. So I'm really quite lucky to have that, I think, where you've got somebody where, because also as well, you can, I think it's a great thing that you actually admire the person that you're playing with. Do you know what I mean? And I do, so, you know, so it's great.
There'll be tickets still available for that, so get down to the arena and see.
Yeah, there may be a few tickets available, like I said.
Can we talk about the Foo Fighters as well? This amazing relationship that seems to have burst up.
It's just nuts. We were in Japan doing a festival, and it's quite an eclectic festival because I was on it and the Foo Fighters were headlining, so there you go. And obviously, you know, we just wanted to see them anyway. And we kind of thought, well, what are the chances of ever getting to stand on the stage? Because you can buy a ticket, but it's hard to, you know. So quite a few of the bands who played that weekend, you know, we were all on the side of the stage. And Dave Grohl, you know, saw me and came over and basically invited me on stage and said, right, now this is happening. So we sung Never Gonna Give You Up, but Foo Fighters style. And it was pretty amazing. It was just a crazy, crazy... I'll level with you. I'd had a few beers by then because we'd already played a little while earlier, and we were all jet lagged anyway. And as I'm walking out onto the stage, I'm kind of looking around at my band and crew. I'm going, "What? Do you know what's going on? Because I don't, you know." And yeah, it's just amazing. But a really great bunch of blokes, and I think that for me, it also proved that you can still be that big. You can have achieved so many things as they have, obviously, but still have a bit of fun with it and just kind of say, you know what, We're in Japan. There's 50,000, 60,000 people here. We're going to get that guy up and we're just going to do this right now. No rehearsal. Never met them before. They'd never met me. They didn't know I was just going to walk out and just go, you know. And so hats off to them for doing it. They do it every, you know, they're always getting people on stage and having a bit of a grin and stuff. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. Amazing moment for us. It's just incredible.
I was going to say, had you met him before, but you've just said
never,
no.
Never. So what the was weirdest like thing. Weirdest thing. Well, because, it, you know, someone like that band, I play drums in a closet rock band, basically. I've got a midlife crisis rock band and two friends who are older than me, by the way, if you're listening. and we play like punky rock songs from when we were kids learning stuff in garages. Again, I like a garage. right the way through to playing anything that we like right now. But it has to be sort of punky rock because it's just a three-piece rock band. And I sing them all, which is a nightmare from the drums, to be honest, but really good fun as well. So we do murder a couple of Foo songs. So it's kind of the weirdest thing in the world to sort of end up on a stage with them. Do you know what I mean? But I'm very, very aware of the Foo Fighters, as I'm sure millions and millions and millions of people are. But it's one thing to be aware of them and even know a lot of their tunes, but actually being on a stage with them, that is a freaky, weird moment. It's kind of... but like I say, we hung out with them after with a few of the other bands that have been playing. And I think if you're good at what you do and you love what you do, which they clearly do, it brings a certain sort of comfort and a certain ease. And all their crew, super professional, super kind of easy to be around, you know, and just hanging out and having a beer afterwards was just really great, you know, really nice people. And it just comes down to the fact that they are musicians at the end of the day. That's what they are, and that's what they pride themselves on being, I think. So it was just a great experience for it. It was mind-blowing, to be honest, yeah. I've done it two more times with them. I did it at the O2 in London, and then they've got their own festival kind of going in California, and they invited me to that. So it's just bonkers, yeah. It was really good, great. Brilliant. Yeah, but what a pairing. You know
absolutely.
What I mean? What a pairing. There you go. Couldn't make it up.
You're listening to Radio City Talk at Risk. Astley's in the studio as well. Just finally, you kind of stepped away from music in terms of making albums and stuff at quite a young age. How does the industry compare now to when back in the early 90s?
There's a lot of things that are similar because obviously radio is still massive and still really important for music. Full stop. It just is. You know, I think people still like the connection with a DJ, to be honest. I think that is still something that people... Because that's almost the modern equivalent of that is someone having a playlist that everyone follows. Do you know what I mean? And the DJ is the same thing as thing in lots of ways. I guess it's the business side of it that's changed in the sense that a lot of artists, their streaming is way bigger than their physical, if they have any physical even, you know what I mean, or even their downloads. And for someone like myself, we still sell a lot of physicals because people, even if they don't play the CD, I just think they want one because it's like, it's the way that, you know, and we sold a lot of vinyl. You know, I signed a lot of it, you know what I mean? So it's kind of, and so I think that's the biggest thing, really. The internet has changed everything for everybody, hasn't it? And the way that we listen and consume and, you know, whether it be any kind of shopping or whether it's music or whatever it is, people just go to the internet first, don't they? Do you know what I mean? So, but like I say, I don't think, I've been expecting radio to go on a downward curve, but I just don't think it seems to be doing that. I think people don't watch TV so much en masse these days, you know, like, you know, Thursday, Friday night, whatever, it'd be the big show, everyone would watch it kind of thing. I think that's changing. Everyone's just recording stuff and blipping through the adverts, you know, but I think radio, there's a community spirit in actually hearing somebody play a tune, you know, whether you're on a, you know, you're at work or whatever you're doing, you know, it's just different, I think. So, yeah.
It certainly is. And from the same sense then, your audiences, how are they? Are the same people still coming and they bringing their kids?
Of course, people are of an age. I mean, you know, and that's, you know, why wouldn't it be and why shouldn't it be? I'm the same. I go and see bands that, you know, I loved when I was a kid or in my 20s and what have you. And I'm glad that people still want to come out and see me. I'm kind of relieved, you know. but it is nice to see younger faces in an audience every now and again as well because you kind of think, okay, well, that's really interesting because, again, the internet, it's not just the internet, but the way people stumble across music sometimes or find something because someone's put something on Facebook or tweeted or whatever or, you know, put a link to something can sort of put people in a different area than they would ever listen to. But they can find out that they actually love that music. And whether it's from a different decade or a different genre, that I think is stronger than we've ever had it before. You know what I mean? People's taste is way more eclectic than it's ever been, I think.
Brilliant stuff. Rick, it's great to have you in. It's great to have you back. Pleasure. With a new album as well. The new song's called Beautiful Life. The album's out in a few weeks' time as well. Best of luck, and we'll see you in Liverpool at the Arena in a few months.
Can't wait. Bring it on.